Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I'm your host for this weekend show. Shad had a little bit of a break at the tail end of the week, but he'll be back with us early next week. Now, this weekend show, I'm going to take a step back and look broadly, big picture, at the markets, not just commodities, but U.S. equity markets, currencies, and the bond market, because, look, let's face it, we seem to be in the middle of summer trading. Summer trading is slow, and that gives us the ability to take a step back and see maybe what the markets are telling us about where we could be going once we get out of this slow summer trading season. No time frame on how long this summer trading is going to last, but we can at least see some of the moves going on slowly under the surface to analyze, well, just where the markets and key trends are moving. I am kicking off the first two segments here with our good friend Rick Bensignor, president of Bensignor Investment Strategies, writes the institutional newsletter, Supposedly Irrelevant Factors. That's read by some of the most successful hedge funds in the world. Also writes a retail newsletter called In the No Trader. And again, I've mentioned it before, Rick also writes this new piece called 7-Eleven, where he picks no more than 7 of the 11 spider ETFs. Now, Rick, big picture, you can't look at any financial website and not see the term inflation thrown around in many articles, and any market commentary always has that inflation comment tied to whatever comment that author is making. Rick, what do you think? Is inflation the most important thing that investors need to be considering day after day right now?
Well, hi, Corey. I think it's a combination of looking at actual inflation numbers, and then also how are investors positioned for what they expect in the future as far as inflation. And it's a combination of that that I think right now is probably the most important two things to be looking at as the basis for not only trading the bond market, but also its influence on the equity markets. And so, you know, we can kind of let's talk about that piecemeal. As far as actual inflation, well, the CPI and PPI numbers came out and kind of very clearly show that we have much higher inflation than was expected. Clearly, much higher than the Fed expected, and it's real. I mean, these, especially, you know, when you take out I never love the idea of taking out the what they call, quote, the volatile food and energy piece of it, because to the average consumer, I'm not sure there is anything more important than the price of food that they pay in a grocery store and the price they pay at the gas station to fill up their cars. These are things that you can't live without. You've got to eat and you've got to be able to get around. So, you know, I still kind of chuckle at the fact that they'll say, let's take a look at some of these numbers without food and energy. Secondly, investors are still, despite the fact that the 10-year has gone from, 1.75 on the high this year down to about 1.3 right now, they are still positioned for upcoming inflation. And they've been correct. If anything, I'd say that Chairman Powell has been incorrect, or he's purposely trying to make this less of an issue than the investing public sees it to be. Even with rates having come down and spreads having narrowed, the reality is that with a 1.3% 10-year that bottomed last week at 1.25, bounced up to actually got over a little over 1.4 and then has, you know, slid down to 1.3 today. The marketplace is still showing, despite the 40 bips of pullback in, or 45 bips in pullback, that we've seen over the course of the last 3-4 months, inflation is still a concern for investors. And on the front cover of our supposedly irrelevant factors report that goes out to institutions, my clients each week, we actually show a table of 10 different markets. And depending upon which ones are in bullish formation on the charts, we actually can get a pretty good clue of how investors are gauging upcoming inflationary pressures. And since last September, it has continuously shown inflationary concerns, and investors have been right because inflation has moved up significantly. Despite the fact that lumber has fallen and given back almost the entire 2000, in fact, I think it has given up the entire 2021 rally, it's still well above where it was from pre-pandemic levels. But despite that, and despite the fact that oil has come off 10% or so from the high, you're still talking about $70 crude, and we were at 40 bucks. So there really is inflation that affects people's pocketbook, and you're not seeing wage increases anything close to offsetting that. The money you get in the bank, or let's say that, you know, even a 10-year yield at 1.3% does you nothing of no good when you've got inflation running where it is now. So it, in many ways, this is truly an issue for the investing public, both professional investors, but also, you know, mom and pop, the retail investor, who's still trying to figure out this game of what to do and how much money to keep in cash. And you know, can you still fuel the equity market because there's nowhere else to put your money? And these are the ongoing issues.
Now, Rick, isn't that the key point? And something that not a whole lot of people have talked about is that even with higher inflation expectations, in a way, does that not make the mom and pop investor, even bigger institutions, say that they need to have their money at work, which means their money needs to be in the markets, which helps support the market?
Well, it does, but it also, the problem becomes that, and the Fed's done this now for, you know, years as interest rates went lower and lower, you got pushed into riskier assets because, especially, look, take a 65-year-old or a 70-year-old in the U.S. who, or in Canada, they rely somewhat on Social Security, but they also, at this point in their lives, have generally moved well away from being in the stock market, and the bulk of their portfolio is in fixed income instruments. And when they're yielding as little as they are, people are having a real hard time making ends meet. The average person is having a difficult time. And this is the issue for them, because if you're 70 years old, you don't want to be forced into the risky equity market. And look, it's done phenomenally well for people who put their money in equities, were virtually on all-time highs. So you've had a phenomenal run, but at some point that's going to correct, and you don't want to be a 70-year-old when the market decides to correct 20 or 25%. That's hugely painful. So this is a real issue. It obviously, depending upon what your age is, affects you more or less. You know, if you're older or not. But the reality is that putting money in the bank, or we're taking 1.3% from the U.S. government on a 10-year instrument simply to get 1.3%, is not a particularly good deal.
It doesn't seem like a very good deal to me, Rick, but you know what? That has been the trend, lower interest rates, and somehow there are still buyers out there for treasuries, but sounds like you think that all could be reversing. We have to wrap up this segment, but I'm bringing it back on next segment, Rick, so everyone stick around. I'm going to be right back with Rick Mencioni.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereports.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report, and I am continuing to chat with Rick Bensignor, founder of Bensignor Investment Strategies. So, Rick, last segment we talked a lot about the bond market and inflation, and you outlined a scenario where you think the bond market bears might finally be right, and we could see a shift in this multi-decade-long bull market for bonds. But I do want to circle back around to your comment on inflation and some of the markets showing you that, you know, inflation is still around. Look at where copper is. Look at where oil is, right? Even lumber is still a little bit higher than its pre-pandemic levels. But what about the gold market? I thought gold was supposed to be the best hedge against inflation. And yeah, gold's up, but if you actually go back to pre-pandemic, so let's look at the high from March of last year, it was right around 1700. That was the exact high. And right now we're at 1800 in gold. So that's not a huge move for how much inflation we're seeing. What's the disconnect here?
I think the disconnect is that you started getting some alternative asset classes, more specifically cryptos, that people have decided to put some money in as a hedge against a falling U.S. dollar, as a hedge against governments controlling the flow of money as compared to individuals. So, you know, the crypto market has taken, if that didn't exist, I suspect the price of gold would be far higher. But gold peaked in the summer, I think it was August of last year, and it, in the big decline that you saw in gold from, you know, over, I don't know, what was it, must be something near 2075, give or take, was the all-time high, down to the move at 1675 earlier this year. That's a $400 drop. That's, you know, 20%. And I think it's because cryptos have taken, let's call it money flow, away from the gold market. The just somewhere else to park your money. And when Bitcoin moved up as much as it did, people started just getting in who know nothing about it, but just kind of go, like, I want to be a part of it. And, of course, at this point, a lot of those people have losses because Bitcoin topped at, what, $63,000, $64,000, and now it's half of that. So not a surprise that people were, you know, some people are getting really badly crushed in the crypto space, but I think that has something to do with why gold isn't higher than it would have been. I do actually like where gold recently bottomed a month ago. I bought some more. When gold got to 1775, I bought some more GLD for myself. And in general, it's kind of bounced and done decently. I really would not want to see those lows taken out under 1750, somewhere around there. At that point, I think gold is in trouble. And we could easily get back to 1675 and, you know, kind of the lows that we saw early this year. And if those levels give way, then gold can go to $1,500 and it makes it a much more questionable type of hold over time. So, just recently stopped somewhere near, I don't know, 1835, give or take, and we're trading 1815 or so. We've bounced. We're holding on to that. The dollar hasn't rallied all that much more since, in the last couple, the last week or so, it's been fairly steady. And I think that from what I read, the fundamentals are still decent for gold. But you've got to kind of listen to what the market tells you to. And right now, you really don't want to see 1750 taken out on the downside.
Okay. Hey, Rick, very clear target right there. And then right after 1750, yeah, you got to look to that 1675 almost level of that most recent low this year. Now, Rick, let's then go to the U.S. equity markets in terms of individual sectors. Any opportunities that you're seeing? This kind of ties into your 7-11 piece where you pick 7 of the 11 SPDR ETFs, maximum of 7, that is. right now it seems like we have a lot of money concentrated in big tech and growth. That rotation has gone back there, and even with weak breadth for the markets, so just a limited number of stocks holding these markets up, that's where the money has flowed. Do you still see an opportunity here? What sectors do you like within these markets?
Well, so it's kind of a mixture, because the lower interest rates, the pullback helps big cap tech. And we've seen them outperform very nicely over the cyclical areas like industrials, financials, energy, materials over the last couple months. As interest rates pulled back, that's a real boost for large cap equity, large cap tech. And we've seen tech outperform significantly. In fact, since June 1st, I put this in a piece I wrote last week for In the Know Trader. If I remember correctly, tech and maybe one other sector was up since June 1st, and everything else was trailing the S&P. So the question becomes, when do rates bottom? And at what point if we keep going down in rates, at some point that's going to be a negative for the growth, big cap tech too. It's certainly not good for financials. You've seen energy names come off significantly. As of yesterday's close, I saw, you know, XOP and XLE, benchmarks for the energy area, you know, trading on their lowest level in 3 months or so. So oil itself has come off about 10%, but these names have come off far more than that. And the low interest rates is not particularly good for those, you know, for the cyclical parts. So you've got a smattering of sectors here now that are kind of, I still like tech. I'm overweight tech. I am overweight financials, because I think that financials, this is a tactical type move in the, let's say, the XLF. The decline is more tactical. It's not strategic, meaning that it's short term. And we try to look out at least 6 months. Right now, I told you we're overweight tech. We're overweight still some of the cyclical parts, because again, I think this is a short term decline. And we're basically stay away from, so I'm not in healthcare, I'm not in utilities, I'm not in staples, I'm not in real estate. I think those are the four I'm not in currently. So it's a little of this, and I've got cyclicals and growth on, and so far it's working.
All right, Rick, we have to wrap up this segment, but you know what? We're going to keep on talking, and I will post the full interview, really unedited, on our website on that weekend show posting on Saturday morning. So as you are listening to this on the radio, you can visit our website, kereport.com, listen to this full interview with Rick Bensinger. Everyone, stick around. I'm going to be right back, continuing to discuss broad markets and this macro environment.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
U.S.
USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
The CDC says over 97% of people entering the hospitals for COVID right now are unvaccinated. John Clemens reports.
The so-called Delta variant is highly transmissible. Those without the vaccine are likely to become seriously ill from COVID and end up in the hospital. Jeff Zients is the White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator.
Just four states accounted for more than 40% of all cases in the past week, with one in five of all cases occurring in Florida alone.
Florida is reporting an average of 29 new infections for every 100,000 people per day. That is more than four times the national average. From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm John Clemens.
Plans underway to get Afghans who help the U.S. military out of the country before a possible Taliban takeover. Evacuation flights out of Afghanistan could begin next week. This is USA Radio News. Concerns about inflation on the rise. A study out Friday by the University of Michigan finds consumer sentiment this month at a five-month low. The biggest complaints for consumers, higher prices for homes, cars, and durable goods. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen on CNBC this week.
I think we will have several more months of rapid inflation, so I'm not saying that this is a one-month phenomenon, but I think over the medium term, we'll see inflation decline back toward normal levels.
She says inflation is highest among sectors affected by the pandemic, like housing, travel, and items that need semiconductors. Some relief Saturday for Europeans affected by deadly flooding. Water is receding in Germany and Belgium. Over 150 deaths recorded so far. That number expected to climb, though, because as waters recede, more bodies will likely be discovered. The Hollywood Ripper sentenced to death. A California jury handing Michael Gargiulo a death sentence Friday for killing two women in 2001 and 2005. The 45-year-old also convicted of attempted murder in a case dating back to 2008. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Rick Bensignor. We were really focused on broadly what's going on in these markets, and that is going to continue to be the theme of this weekend show, as I am now chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Now, Dana, look, fact of the matter is, these markets are boring. Hardly any market right now is really screaming in either direction. Seems like everything is range-bound, some with a little maybe upside bias if you're looking at big-cap tech. But really, overall, feels like we're in the middle of summer, and everyone forgot what summer feels like because last summer was so wild and crazy. What's your strategy during times like these, Dana, when, look, it doesn't seem like we're going to be getting any major moves in the near term? How do you trade these markets?
Yeah, that's right, Corey. You know, after the move we saw post-election last year into maybe call it March or so, we had a historic rally after that. And following those types of rallies, you see kind of consolidation, the market moves sideways, work off those excesses. So I still think we're seeing that. We're combine that with some seasonality where this is the kind of the kind of the norm for these summer months for us to go pretty much sideways to maybe a little bit lower into the fall, which is pretty much what we're seeing here in the broader market. Now, there are pockets of strength, which there always are. So one part of our strategy is to continue, as we always do, to try to concentrate our portfolio in those areas that are still performing well, which, as you mentioned, you know, large cap, large growth, technology, healthcare, mostly in those areas and riding those positions higher. At the same time, trying to trade more of the two-way market in terms of the trading range, you know, buy the dips, sell the rips, don't expect too much, don't expect breakouts all over the place as we remain range-bound. So trying to hit singles for the most part in most of the markets outside of some of those areas I mentioned that are running higher, like large cap growth and tech and healthcare, and we'll ride those higher. But for the most part, try not to overtrade. Try not to again anticipate breakouts or breakdowns. More or less, buy weakness, sell strength, and try to pick up a few pennies here and there.
So, Dana, you are correct about that rip higher that the market saw at the tail end of last year through about March. You can even make the argument really through a couple weeks ago when these markets did just keep on grinding higher. I'm looking at a monthly chart for the S&P 500, and over the last about 15, 16 months, the market's only been down three of those, and those were marginally down, not even big drops, except for slightly more weakness in September. Do you consider these markets safe? Do you consider them overvalued? What's your overall assessment of the health of these markets?
Well, on the one hand, you have to consider the period that we're coming off, that like I mentioned, that post-election rally. So the sideways market is not unusual for that type of market. On the other hand, when you say the market, there are many things you can call the market. Which we normally term the market is the broad market, so the whole wide collection of stocks in the U.S. market, the thousands and thousands of stocks, which represent the broad market. And that, for us, measuring that is the most important factor in measuring the health of the overall market, as we call it. So when you have, you know, positive breath, a good level of participation among the broad market of stocks, then you have a healthy market, then you have a sustainable bull market. When you have the large cap indices hitting new highs and yet the breadth is poor or weak, and you have a very, very low participation rate among the broader market of stocks, then that's less sustainable. And that's basically what we have right now. So that can last for a while, but it has lasted for almost 2 months now. And up until a couple weeks ago, we were willing to write it off because basically it wasn't reaching extreme alarming levels, but now it is. So starting a couple weeks ago, our risk management antennas really went off and had us rein in some of our exposure in the market. Given the breadth divergences, given the weak breath. So we do expect some more reckoning here in the near to intermediate term in the overall market. At the same time, some of these large cap averages can remain buoyant for a time, but typically before you get the next leg up in the market after the kind of breadth divergence that we're seeing now, you have some sort of reckoning across the markets, even those areas that are acting well. Areas that I mentioned before, typically you see those sell off as well for a bit before we bottom and start rallying on a more sustainable basis, because they'll start selling what they can at some point when we get into a sharper correction on top of what has already been sold off, which is, you know, a lot of the small cap stuff and some of the other sectors. But I we think still that eventually, once this little reckoning is over with, that we are still in good shape to break out and put at least one more up leg in the bull market before this whole thing is over. So maybe some more sideways to corrective action in the near to intermediate term, followed by another rally, and then maybe that's it.
What does a safety trade look like to you right now, Dana? Or what would you judge as traders getting a bit more defensive? Because we have already seen yields move lower, so more and more people buying bonds. But there hasn't been this fear creeping into the market, even though we're seeing less breadth, unless if you consider these high-flying tech stocks, if they are now one of these almost safety plays for traders.
Yeah, anything that can go down and go down a lot is not a safety trade for us. There's a difference between safety and the prevailing trend. So things that are an uptrend, I wouldn't necessarily call them safety trades or flight to safety. I would call them the relative strength in the market right now, which we want to maintain positions in those areas. But in terms of trying to protect our capital in a really bad market, we're not going to be rushing to those areas of the market that are necessarily just on a relative basis outperforming. We're going to want to actually take true defensive measures like raising cash, putting on hedges, and that type of thing that is truly defensive in a bad market. So we've been doing some of that. We've lowered our overall exposure substantially over the last few weeks, and looking again, like I said, looking to pick up some pennies and some singles here and there throughout the trading range, and wait for a better opportunity to really load up again, a better risk reward opportunity ahead of a likely another up leg. So as far as some of the safety, one factor that you alluded to, we don't see sentiment really getting fearful yet. It's actually some of the longer term sentiment figures are historically overly bullish, so that's a concern, but that's longer term. In the shorter term, we're not seeing a spike in those fear levels. So if we were, I'd feel more comfortable about buying into this, even with the breadth divergences. But the fact that we're not seeing fear spike, we're not seeing a rush to safety, combine that with the breadth divergences, and I think there's significant amount of risk here in the near term.
Okay. Hey, Dana, great chatting with you, buddy. I know it's really can be kind of tough to trade some of these markets, especially when they're that slow and boring, but I think that you have a pretty good strategy here of hitting singles. Dana, as always, thanks for your time, buddy. We'll chat again in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Sounds great, Corey. You too, bud.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine?
It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we're going to continue to focus on kind of the big picture environment here for markets, encompassing the data that we've been seeing and the lack of movements in terms of the Fed. But other central banks this week did start to taper, and we even had one kind of surprise where we got a full-on winding down of a QE program. I am chatting right now with Mike Larson, editor of the Safe Money Report. Now, Mike, again, big picture for these markets. I continue to hear a lot of negative comments about the markets because of the lack of breadth. The number of stocks that are holding these markets up and even grinding them higher seem to be fewer and fewer, and they seem to be really focused on big tech. Now, the fact of the matter is we are really in the middle of summer trading, it feels like. Volumes have declined, and quite frankly, this is sometimes what we see, a more concentrated effort into some of the bigger name stocks. And again, these high-flying tech stocks, they really seem to be the place where when traders want to shut off their screens, they just put some money to work in these big tech stocks. Let's start off general market environment. Mike, what do you take away from this summer trading that we're seeing right now?
Sure. You know, you're absolutely right in terms of market breadth just not being as impressive as it was earlier this year. When I go through kind of the portfolio and save money and just, you know, all of the different kinds of stocks and sectors I follow, I see that there are quite a few of them lagging. I mean, you can see something like the Russell 2000, small cap stocks underperforming. But you do have those big cap tech names and, you know, little FANG names we used to call them, that have been the go-tos for people to buy. Some of that, you know, the interest rate pressure, I mean, these sort of infinite multiple, high multiple tech companies, to some degree are dependent on what's happening with interest rates. The higher rates go, the higher growth picks up, the more people rotate into cyclicals and sell tech as those long-term interest rates rise. What we've seen more recently is, you know, despite some incredibly strong inflation readings, We've seen longer-term interest rates actually moderate over the last 4 or 5 months. They first flatlined, the yield curve, then they sort of topped out and started rolling over a little bit. The yield curve is flattened, and all those are kind of contrary to what you might expect to happen when you get really strong inflation data. But what that's done is spilled over into reviving some of those old trades. You know, buy high multiple tech, you know, companies that aren't as cyclical, they're more secular growers. Buy things like rotate some money back into things like utilities and especially real estate investment trusts. REITs have done very, very well recently because, you know, when you remove that sort of upward pressure on long-term interest rates, it removes some of the downward pressure on those rate-sensitive stocks and sectors. So, again, it's sort of the return to those trades that we had many, many moons ago. And what that has done concurrently is sort of leave the small caps and some of the financials by the wayside. They've started to lose some ground here. So, interesting market dynamic. Some of it's seasonal, some of it's rate driven, and some of it's just, you know, the fact that there's still money out there, or excess liquidity out there looking for a place to go. And in, you know, in this case, it continues to flow back into stock. Occasionally we get these, you know, these little mini tantrums, you know, the so-called Powell pivot that happened a few weeks back. But what happened? I mean, that sell-off lasted a couple of days, and then, you know, 48, 72 trading hours later, we're right back to the races in terms of big cap averages, S&P going right, you know, right back to new highs. So it's still a market that's in this money flood environment. It's still a market where there's a lot of liquidity sloshing around. And, you know, all else being equal, that's going to tend to send the big cap major averages, the stocks that make up those averages, higher.
Mike, how much do we need to be paying attention to the aspect that markets are forward-looking, right? And we did get some inflationary moves and spikes, especially in the commodities, a year ago and even 6 months ago. But recently, as the data has come in and inflation has spiked in the actual data terms, we're not seeing that inflation trade anymore. Is this really all about the markets being forward-looking and already pricing in a way, some of that inflation, and now they're pricing in the transitory nature of the inflation potentially?
A couple things going on. Obviously, as you pointed out, we were at very depressed levels last March, April, May, whether that's commodity prices, stock prices, economic growth, you know, all up and down the line. And then off those levels, I mean, you know, 10-year interest rates essentially tripled from, what, 50 basis points to over 1.5 percentage point. We saw a lot of movement in whether it's commodities. I mean, things like lumber cracked all the attention, but it wasn't just lumber. It was all the soft commodities. It was copper. It was, you know, other metals that are economically sensitive and so on. And we also saw equities perform very well. But again, a lot of that was driven not just by sort of the rebound off the depths of the COVID-driven recession. It was also driven by expectations of huge fiscal stimulus. We're still talking about big fiscal spending numbers here in the U.S., but some of that is moderating a little bit because of some political resistance to the associated price tags. We've seen some of those, you know, infrastructure type plays pull off. I mean, not, you know, crash or anything serious, but you have seen, you know, those names come off the boil. And on top of that, the other issue that you have with all these inflation figures is they're grabbing headlines. They're making, you know, the media is getting increasingly hostile towards the Biden administration and the Federal Reserve's, you know, stated stance that all this stuff is transitory. The media is doing it, public commentary is doing it, you know, and what that does is it, again, builds in some political resistance. It kind of makes people think, is the Fed really going to be able to stick with this average inflation targeting program? Is the Biden administration really going to be able to continue to push through trillions of dollars of spending if there's more political and public resistance to it? So I think part of what's happening, particularly in the bond market, is people are saying, you know, we're not going to get as much of this stimmy spending, or we're not going to get as much future inflation. So that's why you've seen yields, again, going all the way back to February, kind of topping out at first moving sideways and now coming down somewhat. I think, again, it's just sort of a realization that there's a lot of long-term factors that are going to restrain growth, whether it's demographics, structural issues, all the debt we've piled on top of the economy, some of those things you and I have talked about before. Those long-term issues never went away, and now you have a shorter-term issue of maybe a little less stimulus money coming in, maybe the Fed being forced to kind of, you know, throw a bone to the anti-inflationists and talk a little tougher. So all that coming together flattens the yield curve, and it tends to change which kinds of stocks are leading and which kinds of stocks are lagging, which we've already kind of covered a little bit here. It's those long-term rate-sensitive names, whether it's tech, utilities, REITs, and so on, they're starting to find buyers again. And I would also throw precious metals and mining shares in there after a pretty rough stretch after that, you know, sort of the Powell tough talk that we got. Now even those are starting to base a little bit here and turn up a little bit. So it all kind of points to, again, you remove that long-term interest rate pressure, you're going to get some of those rate-sensitive names that are going to attract buyers again.
Do you take anything away from some of the central bank announcements this week? The Reserve Bank in New Zealand surprisingly decided to end their QE program this month. Royal Bank of Canada, or the Bank of Canada, announced that they were trimming some of their QE purchases, didn't move their interest rates. Do you think any of these other central banks that are starting to get a little bit tighter, especially the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, do you think this carries over to the Fed at all?
You know, I think what it likely does potentially here is take some of the steam out of the U.S. dollar. We've seen one of the reasons gold and silver had come down, and we saw some other related sectors suffer, was because the U.S. dollar popped on some of the, you know, assumption that maybe the Fed is going to pivot a little bit here. But if you have the Fed, and indeed you have Jay Powell coming out this week and talking down expectations really for doing much in the near and intermediate term future before Congress, but at the same time, a couple of these foreign central banks begin to take steps towards dialing back QE or actually doing it, then you could see the U.S. dollar start to roll over a little bit here. So I think what that, again, that is sort of beneficial to those long-term rate-sensitive things and also to companies and sectors that do better when the dollar is declining, such as precious metals. So that's probably the impact we're going to see. I don't think the Fed is going to follow in the footsteps of some of these foreign central banks anytime soon. Powell is definitely taking sort of the Biden administration approach to employment and not worrying about inflation and so on. And all of his public remarks seem to be basically counter to that idea. They're going to try and be peremptory. So we'll have a few of the people sitting at the table in the Federal Reserve that are going to push back. For example, Dallas Fed, Kaplan has already talked a little tougher and so on. But the central core of the Fed, you know, sort of where the locus of power is, those people don't seem to be ready to shift. So I don't think that they're going to follow what Canada has done or New Zealand has done anytime soon.
Yeah, you're right. Powell sure has been pretty steadfast with his comments and his stance on where inflation is going and what the Fed is doing. I don't know. It doesn't seem like we're going to get any drastic change from Powell or the Fed anytime soon, but who knows? Maybe they'll start talking the market in a different direction. Hey, Mike, great having you on the show, buddy. We're going to wrap it up here. I want to thank everybody for tuning in on this weekend show. I know summer trading can be a little bit slow, but hey, we're still here commentating on the markets and trying to do a lot of company interviews, too, to keep everybody up to date on the moves and the work that's being done by a lot of these resource companies. And unfortunately, this is a time where the market isn't noticing a lot of good work being done. But as more investors come back, then look to those companies that have been putting out some good news and also understand this environment that we are in that I think Mike outlined perfectly. Mike, thank you, as always, for your time on this weekend show. Everybody, Mike, you included, I hope you all have a great weekend.
Thank you.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.